Good morning and welcome back to Nahyami. Today we are going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Yud, the 10th Perek of Sefer Yirmiyahu. Complex Perek we're dealing with over here. It is actually ambiguous as to when this occurs. The general theme of the Perek seems to be Yirmiyahu dissuading B'nai Yisrael from involving themselves in the practices of the non-Jews around them. And this therefore could actually be early on in his career when he is working side by side with Yoshio to eradicate Avodah Zorah and heathen worship from the nation of Israel. So it could really be earlier then, but we're going to see later on in the parak that there might be indications that this could be actually much towards the end of his career. We'll put that forward on hold. Let's see what the actual parak describes. So the first section of the parak really runs from, well, you can divide this up in different ways, but the first section from Aleph to Hey describes how Yirmiyahu is telling the people, don't worry about all the horoscopes, about all the mazalos of the non-Jews. He says, Shimu es adavor asher diber Hashem aleichem b'nei beis Yisrael. Listen to what Hashem is telling you. Ko amar Hashem, so says God. El derech agoyim al tilmodu. Don't learn from the ways of the nations. Umei oisos ha-shamayim al teichosu. Don't fear from the signs in the heavens, v'aliyah ki yechato agoyim ehema, which the nations are scared of. In fact, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chof Tes Amud Aleph, tells us that Ein lecha kul uma v'uma sheloika, she'ein ha'elokeha eloheha loika. That means to say that whenever you see a nation which is failing, a nation which is falling apart, understand that their spiritual minister, their angel in charge of them, must have been affected or hurt before, which precipitates this episode that you're seeing with them. That's why it says in Shmos Uvachol Elohei Mitzrayim Heseh Shvatim, Hashem says, I destroy the gods of Egypt. However, Uvizman Shi Yisrael Asim Ratzono Shel Makom Ein Misyarin Mikol Elo. And at the time that Israel does the will of Hashem, they don't have to worry about this. They don't have to worry about the star signs and what's happening in the celestial spheres. It's not going to affect them. They're not to that. Ein Mazal Yisrael, which is what the Gemara says, based on this pasuk here in Yirmiyahu, says, you, B'nai Israel, don't need to worry about that. That means to say that we can hear prescriptions, we can hear, you know, sociological studies which are done predicting our demise, and it could actually look very likely, but ultimately we don't have to worry about that because we don't play by the regular rules if we're fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Gemara says. Then Yirmiyahu says, he generally compares his power, Hashem's power, to that of the gods and the powers of the nations. And again, he mocks them, similar to what Yeshayahu did. He mocks the powers of the nations. He talks about how, look how silly they are. Musar havolim. Heitzu. Look what they're serving. It's wooden. Kesef merokam et tarshishavo. They got this beautiful silver which comes from Tarshish. V'zav mu'upaz mna'asei charash. And beautifully, you know, fashioned gold. V'ideitz oreif, which is smelted. Tcheles agamon nevushom ma'asei chachomim kulam. You know, all their beautiful clothes, but they're all made by human beings. That's what they're serving. V'ashem elokim emes. But God Almighty, He is true. He is the eternal living God. When he gets angry, the entire earth shudders. Meaning, as I look at these people who are serving these absent human-made gods. And then he says, interestingly enough, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he turns to a different language. Yirmiyahu now turns to Aramaic and he says, Kidna temrun lohoi. This is what you should say to them. Eloi haya di shemaya ba'arka loy avodu. So serve Hashem, who is the God of the heavens. Now, so interesting. Why is it that Yirmiyahu has decided that out of all the psukim in the Sefer, he's suddenly decided that he's going to now be talking in the language of Aramaic? What's going on over here? Who is he talking to? So it happens to be that who speaks the language of Aramaic? And the answer is very simply, is the people from Babylon. This is the language we're going to see later on. Sefer Daniel is in, probably predominantly. A lot of Sefer Ezra is. Those who lived in Babel are the ones who speak Aramaic. So he's saying to them, he's turning to them, and he's saying very explicitly, thou shalt say to them, let the gods who did not make the heaven and the earth perish from the earth from under these heavens. He's talking specifically to them and to those people living in those places. And then Yirmiyahu now moves on. In the last section of this parak, from Yud Zayin towards the end, about a time for retribution. Yirmiyahu hasn't spoken about this type of theme up till now. Up till now, he's been telling Israel what's going to happen. But now is the time where he actually talks about retribution. And he says the following. Isfi me eretz kinoseich yosheves b'matzar. Gather from the land of your humility, or from the land of where you've been spread out. Yosheves b'matzar, those who dwell under siege. What's this referring to? So what the Mefarshim suggest is what's going on over here is, and as the Radak suggests, is that actually the target audience now are the people of Israel who have been exiled during the Golos Yahyachin. Remember, there are two stages of Golos. Just to recap, the first stage of Golos was when 10,000 of the best of Yerushalayim were taken to Babel, to Babylon, as the first stage of humbling the nation of Israel before Tzidkiyahu was Golos and the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, which is the second stage. So the fact that he's talking in Aramaic, and the fact that he's talking to those who are in siege, he's referring to the Jews in exile, and he's basically saying to them, says the Radak, that he's pleading with them not to be influenced by the Avodah Zorah in the culture there. So this is a letter he's sending to the people who didn't listen to him, who are now exiled Jews, pleading with them not to be influenced by that Aramaic Babylonian culture. And he therefore reassures them by saying, Ki choy omar Hashem, hinini kolea esu aretz ha'azoz pa'amachas, v'atzirosi lachem l'mani imotzu. He says, I'm going to sling these people around. Now, the slingshot is a very fascinating Kabbalistic punishment, kafa kele, what that means. But here it sounds like, just on the most basic level, a slingshot sort of shifts something very far away. It throws a stone to far reaches. He's saying that even though you're in Golos now, understand, I'm going to move those Babylonians. The grandchildren of Nebuchadnezzar are going to be destroyed and thrown from their own lands. So don't worry about how bad it looks, because it's only temporary. That's what he's arguing over here. And then finally he says, as he closes his perek, he says, Yodati Hashem ki lo la'odam darko ki lo la'ish olech v'ochines a'tzadoi. I know Hashem, and a person doesn't necessarily control the way he goes and prepares his steps. Yasreini Hashem ach b'mishpot alba b'chota al tamiteini. We, O Israel, is now referring to himself as Israel. Yirmiyahu says, don't hurt us too much, Hashem. We know that we did bad things. We know that we brought this upon ourselves, but don't really hurt us. And finally, rather than that, Yirmiyahu begs, the last pasuk of this perek should sound very familiar, pasuk Chof Hei. He says, Shefoich chamoscho el hagoyim asher lo yada'ucha. Pour thy wrath, pour your anger on the nations who don't know you. Al mishpachos asher b'shim choloi koro'o. And on the nations who did not call your name. Ki achlu es Yaakov es v'achalohu, v'achalu ves noveo eshamu. Because they consumed Jacob, they consumed Yaakov, and they destroyed his place. Where do we know these words from? Where does this pasuk appear? So this pasuk, almost in totality, appears in the Haggadah of Pesach, just as at the end of the benching, before we start the Hallel section, is we ask Hashem to pour out his anger on the nations. One of the very rare moments where we, certainly in liturgy and Tillah, where we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask for retribution. Yirmiyahu is saying over here that even though the nations there was a prophecy that the nations should ultimately punish Israel because of their actions, they went too far, they consumed us, they hurt us so badly that ultimately we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save them, please destroy them. There's a pirush on the Haggadah called the Mishneh Sakhir, who actually brings a beautiful mashal, and he says, imagine that you have a father and a son, and this is the only son, and the son didn't go in the right ways. He didn't listen to his father. He ended up constantly and consistently disobeying his father. One day he went against the will of his father to go swim in the river, and the river was too powerful for him, so he starts drowning. He tries to get to shore, but the more he tries, the more the tide pulls him in, and he's getting pulled down and down and down, and he's reaching the end of his breath. He's not able to pull himself up, and at that moment the father appears on the banks of the river. At this point in time, is the father going to say, I told you so, son, you see, I said you shouldn't be going to the river by yourself. No, at this point in time, the only thing the father does is he jumps in to pull the son out, because he knows the son is mortally in danger at this point in time. So that's what we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. destroy these nations who don't care about you because they're eating us. We're at the point where we're higia ma'amad nafesh, where we simply have no way to be able to survive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at us as children, please, and save us at this point in time. That's what Yirmiyahu is doing, and he's calling out. And we've seen this, we've witnessed this, and hopefully we will see this come to fruition in our days. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.